for a Sims character. He's kind of like
just rocking, just vibing.
Yes,
feel disgusting. I haven't had hot water since Monday. What?
No.
Which was really bad because I went to the gym and then I came back and I went to shower and there was no hot water. And I was like, cool, this is exactly when I needed this. So
the gym doesn't happen to have a shower, do they?
Well, they do, but I didn't know that I would have needed to shower there. So I've been sponge bathing like a sickly Victorian child.
You're in your sickly Victorian child era. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Love cosplaying. You don't get stuck with, like, a hot, non-toothless duke. You just have to bathe like they did back then.
At this point, like, I would take a hip bath, but only if it was warm water.
I honestly didn't know what a hip bath was until I think it was – Lydia Lloyd romance. She like shared a post and it had like a graphic and I was like, you're telling me that's what a hip bath is?
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I guess it's all in the name.
What's in a name?
What's in a name? But truthfully, I didn't realize that all of you was just out except the hips.
Did your screen just do the little thumbs up thing?
No.
Oh, mine had like a little thumbs up popped up on your screen when you did something. Like, have you seen like the FaceTime? Like, has your do you have the newest like updated phone or whatever?
I did, but I don't think I've FaceTime since then.
Oh, well, it has like little reactions where like if you do a thumbs up, it'll like pop a little thumbs up on the screen. Oh, if you do a like a peace sign, yeah, you had a little thumbs up pop up.
What?
And it does was that, like, that in same... reels.
Like if I'm like filming like a video.
That's interesting.
And like you can like I accidentally hit like reactions or something, and then if I make like a thumbs up, it'll do like a thumbs up and it scares the shit out of me every time. I don't know why this website
Yeah, that was weird. And mine clearly isn't doing it. Cause no. I don't know. That was weird.
Huh. A main character moment for me. Yeah.
Hello, throbbing members. Hello. Welcome to Romancer TBR.
It is us. Back like we promised. We're here.
You know, we made it.
We did.
Last week was the week from hell for me, so
I'm honestly impressed this week you don't
did a newsletter.
Yeah.
And this week I don't have hot water, so.
Yeah,
doing great.
I thought in myself, when I was writing in my notes up at 2 a.m., Eras as romance books, just so I wouldn't forget, apparently. And then I texted Caroline the next day. And for some reason, I thought that would be easy. I don't know.
Well, what's funny is I was also thinking that. We mind melded.
Look at that. Love that for us.
No, it wasn't easy. It was harder than picking books for songs.
Yeah. And I think it's because I just get so hyper fixated on, like, songs that it fucks with me. Because I'm like, and then I wanted to pick songs that I had already chosen for, like, some of the songs. I was like, I can't do that. And I think two of my choices ended up being ones that you had chosen for, like, specific songs. And I had, like, went back to, like, read or, like, look at our social post for a few of them after I picked mine. I was like, oh, so Caroline picked, I think it was, like, the Wisteria or the League of Gender Women Witches and one other one. I was like, that makes sense. They are very... like the album, so yeah, it was tricky.
I mean, at least with the earlier albums, I had already done,
yeah,
my like historical romance.
I was jealous of you.
Post on Instagram. Well, and so I already had like I had sorted out what I thought the thematic ties for each album were.
Mm-hmm.
But in the later one, once I got to like Folklore Evermore, I was like, oh boy,
yeah. And I had like I have a whole spreadsheet in Google Sheets of like all the Taylor Swift songs, and like I have it divided into like historical romance and like contemporary, just because I know we do these for historical, and so it just kind of like gets my thoughts down. And if I read a book, I can just like put it in there, so then when we get to that album, but none of them I think that I had ended up being my pick, which was great for me. Loved that. Same thing for the contemporary. I didn't have a lot in that sheet. And again, none of them ended up being the one.
So if you did, if you're not subscribed to our newsletter, you probably don't know what we're talking about. Yeah, why not? But last Friday, because I had the week from hell, we went with a newsletter. Or Saturday, actually, because heaven forbid I do anything Sunday. On time. Oh, that's right. It went out Sunday morning. We wrote it on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
God, okay. We paired historical romances. Each of us picked a historical romance to pair with each Taylor Swift era in honor of the Eras Tour movie streaming. And as promised in said newsletter, today we're going to go quickly back over those. Hopefully, since we've already written that, we're not going to spend a lot of time, I say, staring into my own eyes as reflected back to me. Pull yourself together, self. But also, we're going to do a contemporary pick for each era also. Also, we're going to do an era also that. There's just a lot of words coming out of my mouth right now. We're also picking contemporary recs for each era.
Which was not harder. On the newsletter.
And which was so much harder.
Because we both would
think it would be easier.
Less. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted
it's
to put
we
like,
haven't read as many.
Yeah. What ones that I had the most for like 1989
that
and
was
Reputation.
The one I struggled with, interestingly.
Weird.
I struggled with both of those. Well, but also, I was like limiting myself to only one author or one book per author. And the thing is, there are some authors where like I could give an album, actually, I could give multiple songs. I could do a whole Taylor Swift playlist for each of Emily Henry's books. But I was like, okay, I have to pick one. Like, I cannot just make all of the albums Emily Henry books.
Yeah. I'm thinking since, you know, you could do that, and I've got like lists, I guess, of these and like some in, because I had other picks for some of the historical ones we chose and I had to narrow them down. We could, like, if we ever run out of ideas for newsletters, we could always do like a newsletter per album.
Oh, God.
And just like add a few in. They don't have to be a lot, but I feel like that would be nice. It'd be easier, I think, because you wouldn't have to limit as strategically. Like, if you were between two, you could just pick both. But yeah, no, I feel like that would be fun. Exactly. Exactly.
All right, let's get into it. Your girl is sleepy.
Schleppy.
She's a sleepy girl. All right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. I cut off before who we are. Just in case someone
Dang.
Doesn't know who we are. I did.
I'm Caroline.
So I cut you off again. And then just again, say it one more time.
I'm Caroline.
Cool. And I'm Hannah, the cutter
off. I thought you weren't going to say who you were first. I was like, okay, it's just me.
Just putting you in the spotlight. You have to bejeweled. Just you. It's fine.
Best believe.
Yes. Okay. Now go into your
Taylor Swift. My historical romance pick, as you will know if you read the newsletter, was Kit McBride Gets a Wife by Amy Berry. If you didn't, these are all based pretty much entirely on vibes. And the vibes were so correct. It was sweet. It was Western. She's finding her place in this world, which I believe was the lyric you picked for yours. That's it. That's my whole logic. It just felt like the vibes.
Yeah, that one really does. For both of those characters. They're both finding things. I picked I started out with what's the first one in the Wild Winchester series? The Duke Heist.
Yes.
By Erica Ridley. So like that's where I started. And I was like, as I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, every book in the Wild Winchester series is about like these characters trying to find their place in this world, like within their family, but then like outside of the family. I mean, the Duke Heist is like, I guess, the first one that I thought of. So I didn't put it in the newsletter, but that was like my first one. I just think that those books are just so, again, like sweet and very fun, playful. But then they're still kind of dealing with not necessarily like growing up, but I don't know, finding your place in this world. You were having headphone.
I'm good. It's just my bangs are pinned back.
Yeah, same.
And then they got flipped, and then I looked like
cockatoo.
I had a little
cockatoo
crest. Contemporary. This was so hard. I haven't read any cowboy romances.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Like contemporary cowboy. And I was like, that's exactly what I need for this recommendation. And I haven't read them, which hurts my feelings. So instead, I went with Actor Age Eve Brown by Talia Hibbert. Why am I blanking on names? Also, basically for the vibes of like she's very like, I don't want to say naive, but I feel like she starts the book not knowing a lot about herself.
Yeah.
Or like where she fits into the world.
Is that two or three in the series?
It's number three.
Three. Okay. Yeah.
And over the course of the book, number one figures out that she's neurodivergent, and that explains a lot about the way that she interprets the things around her and interacts with the world. But also just like figures out what she wants to be doing and where she wants her life to go. So that felt correct. It's also very, like, young and whimsical feeling to me.
Yeah. This one, again, was also hard because it's a very, you know, coming-of-age album. But I chose a second coming-of-age. And that is – that's – oh, my God. It's That Summer Feeling by Bridget Morrissey. Basically, it's Sapphic, the first heroine – she goes to a summer camp for adults because she just got divorced and is looking to kind of like find herself again. Her name's Garland. And then the other heroine is Stevie. She's a little bit more outgoing. She was a former park ranger. She's not a cowboy, but she could wear a hat in a past life. So for a profession. but I feel like the summer camp vibes, like the summer feeling, like, it just kind of gives her trying to find her place again after her divorce and all of that. And it's a very soft, like, marshmallow book. It was very good and very, like, vivid and felt, like, nostalgic, which also gave me those debut vibes.
Fearless.
I love that.
I'm going to do this Thank you for every doing album. This. I'm so sorry. My historical pick was Get Thee Off My Lawn by Daria Vernon, which is just such a fun novella, and I feel like I bring it up every possible chance I get, though I read it at the beginning of last year. It's simply so silly and whimsical and fun. That was the whole logic. It felt very young and silly and whimsical and fun. And like the whole, they're like two people who don't have a lot of fun. And then they meet and they, number one, have great sex. But number two, are like, whoa, I feel so playful. And it's got kind of like a star-crossed lovers vibe. So there you have it.
I chose Heather and the Prince by J.J. McAvoy because that is the most fearless coded book I have ever read in my life, at least for historical. Like, it was so good. It's out. You can read it. Definitely recommend it. It really just gave, like, the young love, like, your first love, big emotions, you're screaming, you're fighting, you're kissing in the rain. Like, all of that. It had literally all of that. Princess Diaries 2 comp, literally perfection. Her father was not having it. He went away for a while, the hero, she had to like wait for him to come, like it's still a song love story, but like it's also fearless. Like, I just, it's so good. I love it so much. I love it so much. It's like all of those songs into one, and yeah, there's just a lot of big emotions, and they just felt like as soon as they got together, like no one was gonna tell them that they couldn't be together. Like, it was them against the world. And it felt like very, almost even like new adult, because I think she was like 20 and he was like 24. So they were like very young, even for like historical romance that I normally read. So they just felt like tiny little babies. So yeah, big fearless vibes.
For contemporary, listen, I had no books for this. I got nothing. And so I... I ended up being like, you know what? This is just vibes. I went with The Kiss Quotient by Helen Wong. And my only reasoning for this is that, listen, I read this book a million years ago, and I don't remember most of it, but I do remember that she becomes fearless over the and, like, very much gains.
Her ponytail snap, like, her ponytail holder snaps. You don't remember that?
No.
There's, like, a symbolic, like, she always has her hair in a ponytail, and then one day it, like, snaps.
I don't remember that. I do remember that he is a male escort, and that she hires him to teach her to have sex, essentially. And that it's very hot.
It's so hot.
It's so insanely hot. And I just, she's just, like, very afraid of everything. This is largely because of her autism and the fact that she, you know, not that being autistic makes you afraid, but, like, the way that it manifests in her is she has a very strict, like, way that she engages with the world around her. And he's like, plot twist, though, you could be having banging sex and also learning to speak up more. And she's like, whoa.
She was like, whoa.
Maybe I will dirty talk, you know?
So. And I think about rereading that book a lot because, yeah, that was one of the first, like, contemporary romances that I, like, read after getting on Bookstagram. So it's been a long time. I chose a novella because I just did, so deal with it. This is me to me. I chose another one later on, too. It is A Risk Worth Taking by Jessica Joyce. One, what a banger of a novella. I loved it so much. I read it on Christmas Day. It's only 78 pages, but it managed to be, like, both hot and, like, cute and very, like, emotional, basically. They, like, make eyes at each other at a bar. I think she's maybe working at the bar, and then his company is there. And then whatever. And then they, like, meet outside, and they spend the weekend together, and then they spend the holidays. And then I think they ended up – I think it's around New Year's Eve. And then they kind of have to, like, separate for a while. But – one, A Risk Worth Taking just sounds like fearless. Like, you got to be fearless. Her nickname is Clareful because her name is Claire. She just kind of has to, like, release those inhibitions and feel the rain and Connor on her skin. She does. It's just a very, like, you kind of got to just, like, jump then fall into that relationship because she was, like, very hesitant. And, again, like, it's a very short – it's, like, 78 pages. And it did it all in those 78 pages. Yeah, I thought it was just, like, a very cute relationship, but also, like, very hot. I was like, wow, Jessica, get it. Or give it, I guess. To us for a Christmas present.
So true.
So, yeah.
So true.
Speak now! I love, like, this journey.
My roommates are home. I'm trying not to be obnoxiously loud or else I would have belted it. I picked one that you normally pick. However, yep. You picked your books before me on this newsletter, and I was like, my time has come. It's my time to shine. Yeah. I can't not include An Island Princess Starts a Scandal by Adriana Herrera. One of us has to include it every time we talk about Speak Now. Because it is the law. Because you're not allowed to mention Speak Now moments and not include
jumping on his back
and yanking on his hair at the altar.
I literally had a whole paragraph. I had that, like, all of it, and then I was
in your thing you were like, I bet you're surprised that it was this book and not another one, and I was like, don't worry, queen, it'll be included regardless.
Yep Thank God.
That's it. That's all I have to say.
I mean, that book is perfect. They both had to, like, speak now in various different ways in that one. But, yeah, my choice was Say Yes to the Princess by Sharers Michaels, which also, like, I didn't realize, like, say yes, like, speak yes, whatever. Like, basically, she – woof! Ruff, ruff. Bark now. Basically, she is an exiled French princess living in the English court. He is the royal fixer. So he, like, fixes all their problems, and she has become a problem because she just found
a queen.
Yeah. Hi, it's me. She thinks she saw her brother in town, which he's also been exiled and lost to her for, like, 15 years. And so she now starts to kind of like make a commotion and step out of line. And so he's tasked with, I think, like seducing her. But that man is the nicest, softest person.
Seducing her.
Yeah. Yeah.
As you do. Like,
and I was like, hell yeah. But then he was like, hell no. Like, I'm not, I can't do that. And he is just the sweetest person. And she deals with anxiety issues. And like their first interaction, well, their first like intimate interaction is her just like being hugged by him and licking his neck. And I'm like, yeah, sometimes you gotta speak now, sometimes you gotta lick now, and that's, you know, how it be. Yeah, but there's a little bit of a speak now moment. I think I mentioned it in our speak now episode. At the end, it's not completely, but he thought he was having his speak now moment. So
and that's really all that matters is yeah. that you're having your moment in your head. I also have to say, I know you've read the next book in that series, The mm-hmm. Arc. I have mm-hmm. not, and I don't want you to tell me anything about it yet because I am not in a place where I can read it.
That's all.
However, all I know about it is from when she did her cover reveal and she mentioned that he is like like a lost prince living in a cave in the woods.
Yes, he is.
And that now he's a rugged horse whisperer. And I was like, say less.
Yeah, he is.
That's the best thing I've – like – that's speak now, the speak level less. Yeah. that I think more historical romance authors should mm-hmm. reach for. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, he's a duke. Oh, he's got daddy issues. No, he's a lost prince living in a cave in the woods as a horse whisperer.
And he's a legit recluse.
Yeah, that's like, the level of bonkers I want.
No, that's you're going to have a fun time with it. It was very soft. Yeah. And I was like, how is this going to work? And it did. and like... I can't wait till you read it, because then we should do an episode on these two books, because excellent. I need to reread this one, and then I will reread that one when the audio comes out, because I am excited. So
contemporary.
Yeah.
Once again, did I have a good one for this? No, because the thing is, I love a speak now moment in a historical romance, but in a contemporary, if one character is, like, dating, seeing, engaged to another person for too long, I hate it. I don't think that it works in contemporary romance almost ever, because there's never a good – like in historical, I think you can kind of play with the like you can't back out of an engagement. Like you would be ruined. Maybe the contract's already – whatever. I think there are valid reasons to be engaged to another person. Side note, in a contemporary – what?
I was going to say I read – is it Scandal Wears Satin or something, or Silk?
Silk is for Seduction?
Yeah. And because, like, I wasn't sure I was going to like it because, you know, he was
he's
almost
engaged. That's almost. An important.
And but I loved that book. So it was so good.
It was a good book. Personally, I'm a huge fan of her, like, store getting burned. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her store getting burned down. And he just moves them all into his house.
Yeah.
That's like, actually, you're living here now.
Because he was in denial about so many things.
Yeah. It was so silly. Fun.
Yeah.
That's a great book.
It is. I said it.
Historicals, you can be engaged to somebody else. Yeah. And sometimes I'm annoyed, but a lot of times I understand. Contemporaries, if you are two consenting adults, there is no reason that you can't get out of an engagement, someone that you're dating, whatever. Like, no reason. So I have no speak now moments in a contemporary romance. So instead, I went with the, like, fairy tale vibes with The Love Fiancé that. Farce by
Alexandra
Bellaflor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember much about this book. I do feel like one of the heroines was very shy and had to, like, you know, have that, like, learn to use her voice moment. But mostly I just remember the Cinderella vibes were strong. And that's like my whole reasoning. That's all I got.
The one heroine has to, like, be married or something for, like, an inheritance, I think.
Yeah, and the other one, she, like, lied and claimed to be dating this famous person or model, cover model. She was like, this is my girlfriend. And then she actually showed up. A classic fake dating setup.
I mean, wish that would happen to me in real life. That's crazy. Yeah, no, I looked at that one when I was, like, going through all my contemporary ones that I read. I chose, again, one with, like, a speaking verb in it. Who knew? I didn't until now. It's Say You'll Be Mine by Nana Kumar. So I read that one not too long ago, and basically she's been in love with like her friend for the longest time, and then I'm now he's getting married. Well, she was in love with an idiot.
Oh, I had a better contemporary pick I could have done. Guys, I could have done The Next Best Fling by Gabriela Gamez, which is a book
bonus
being published in July by Forever. I work for them. It doesn't actually have a speak now moment. It's the opposite of a speak now moment because she's in love with her best
honestly,
friend.
This one too.
Who's getting married to someone else, and his brother comes into town for the wedding, and she finds out that he's drunk at their engagement party, and he's going to crash it because he's in love with the bride-to-be. But she stops
this one also takes place at a wedding because like this guy is getting married and she's like planning his wedding like because he's an idiot and a jerk and makes her do everything and she happens to be his best man and she's being strung along, and so thank god there wasn't a speak now moment because I would have been like, girl, get away from him. Like, he's horrible. But she did have to find her voice. She ended up with the right guy. They were basically like set up by their parents, and they end up fake dating, or like a fake relationship, fake engaged even maybe, to kind of put their parents' pressure off, and then because she's still kind of like hung up on this dude. So I just felt that it was very cute. You just really wanted to lock them in a room together and make them kiss because it was definitely very slow burn and she was hung up on the other dude. But I think she had her – she, like, got to ream him out a little bit at the end. She got to speak now to him, and I appreciated
that.
That's
true. Gabriela Gamez, that one, she also gets to ream somebody out. Love it.
Yeah. I love the – both of those are, like, wedding themes too.
It's true.
So, yeah, that one was really good. It was a debut too, which surprised me.
Red.
I love the like 1 second prep you do. Like, you have to like get in the
zone. I have to prepare.
Yeah,
I have to get myself ready. I want angst. Yeah. I want mess.
I want angsty.
I want second chances.
Yeah.
I want angst. I want mess. I want messy, painful 10 minutes of being like, I fucking remember.
Maybe chose the same contemporary.
I don't.
Maybe not.
No, okay. We didn't. We totally didn't. You wouldn't have picked mine. Again, the magic was my historical.
Yeah.
Because angst, mess, second chances, people spending like a decade thinking about their lost love, who they hate. One of them hates the other one, but do they? Not really. They just think they do and they need revenge, but the revenge comes in the form of fucking against a tree. Relatable. It's so messy and so angsty, and I go feral a little bit every time I think about it. That's it.
Subtract the tree, and then you describe Private Arrangements by Sherry Thomas, which was my pick. subtract the tree, add her thinking about shoving her wedding ring up her hoo-ha to entice him to get back together with her, which I think is – I wish she would have done it. I was so excited for her to have that moment for herself. She didn't, but we were close. I just feel like, yeah, I needed messy, angsty, like, absolutely feral emotions across the board. Like, both of them were at fault at times. Like, you saw their beginning of the relationship, and it was so sweet, but then you knew she was making the mistake, and it happened, and it hurt so bad. Yeah. Pain. That book is pain.
It's true. The but two authors that are going to hurt you.
Yes.
Sherry Thomas and Lisa Kleypas.
Yeah, I think we nailed Red.
Yeah.
With the historical. Just going to pat ourselves on the back for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think we earned it. My contemporary is another book that is published by Forever.
Mine too.
Usual disclaimer. Forget Me Not.
Okay. I looked at that one too.
I didn't think you would because I know that you didn't like it as much as I did.
Yeah.
But it's a second chance dual timeline, but you get the hero's POV in the past and the heroine's POV in the present, which I normally would not like that, but I like it here. It's also just like messy. You spend a lot of the book trying to piece together what the big dramatic like breakup thing was. They're working together now. There are a lot of feelings. I had a lot of feelings. We all had a lot of feelings. And what is red if not a lot of feelings?
That is so true. And I also had a lot of feelings during Jonna Goes Wild by Farrah Hammond.
That's a good one.
Which is also published by Forever. It's another second chance. And thank God. I thought I hadn't chosen any for red because I did this like last night. And then I stopped thinking about it. And then I told you, I was like, I don't have anything for some of these. And then I had this one. I was like, you know what? We're going with it. I was like, I knew in the part of me that I didn't need anything else. Yeah, this one is one of like, because I'm not a huge second chance person, especially in contemporary. But this one like hurt. It was messy. It was tense because basically they hook up at the big, like in the past, she gets pregnant, but then they co-parent. So they're not like together. But they're always reminded of each other because they have to co-parent.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very, like, charged with emotions. And then they end up having to go on this, like, wedding trip to – where do they end up going?
Tanzania.
Tanzania. And then there's, like, tense and tenseness and, like – I didn't want you to think I said tense.
They're intense. And they're intense.
Yes, exactly. Literally. It just felt like the story of a, like, in a crowded, like, just two people looking at each other kind of like, what the hell do we do now? In Tanzania. and just adding the daughter into it, like, it was just a very dramatic, angsty, like, emotional book. So that was my read.
1989. She says it.
Taylor, I gotta say, I was born in 1989.
She's back again with another Forever historical romance, which has never met a duke like you.
Bye.
Amelie Howard. I just, what is 1989 if not an It Girl album?
I took a Forever one too. Look at that.
I love that for us. What is 1989 if not an It Girl album? And who is, I don't remember the heroine's name, but she's based on Cher / Emma. Cher from, like, Clueless.
Cecilia or something?
No. Well, I can tell you right now, that's not it.
I ruled one out.
Definitely. The visceral reaction I just had to that. It's Vesper.
Vesper. So not even close. Okay. Not close at all, but.
Vesper, who is inspired by Cher from Clueless and Emma from Emma. What do all of those women have in common? They're It Girls.
Mm-hmm.
She's fashionable. Great wardrobes. The glitz, the glam. She also has a cat, just like Taylor.
Mm. Purring in her lap.
So true. Mm-hmm. So true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I chose another Forever one, which was A Rogue to Remember by Emily Sullivan. This one was super hard. Like, 1989 was the last one I chose for this. Like, I almost gave up. I didn't want to do it. I was like, I don't know. We did a full album.
I was like, surely I have. Yeah. No, it's hard.
Yeah. It was so hard. And, like, I just. And then I was going back through the years because I read this one a long time ago. And I was like, you know what? She really did just go to Italy and live her best life.
It's true.
And escaped everything. Welcome to Italy. It's been waiting for you. She learned to paint. Sure. Not very well, but she did it. And then this guy, because it's second chance. So, like, well, kind of. Like, yeah, it
is. No second chance, yeah.
Yeah. They never actually, like, got together, but they were torn apart.
They were on the verge of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, solidified it for me when I was like, oh, yeah, so he's coming back into her life. And then she's got to go road trip with him back to England. He's a classic. Spy. He's like a hot professor. That's his like alias, but he's like a spy. And I'm like, hell yes.
Professor alias.
He was so hot. It just kind of felt like she was like finding her voice again, like for like the first time, because her, I think, uncle or something, grandpa, I don't know, was like very overbearing kind of and structured. And she was finally able to kind of just, like, go have her 1989 It Girl moment. Yeah, that was a really good book. And it's, like, very, like, sparkling, like, 1989. Like, very don't know, like the setting was a prominent part of it. So, yeah. I was proud of myself when I pulled that one out of the hat because I didn't think it was coming.
This one, I'm like, in this moment, I am debating which one of these two I want to go with because my contemporaries were the hardest for this one, which is funny because you would think I would just pick a New York book. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I don't have any that I liked for this.
Do you want me to go?
I want to pick one just because I just read it. But the thing is, it's kind of cheating because we haven't even put it on NetGalley yet.
Okay, so, yeah. Like, I don't think you can do that.
So, like, literally, I've just
read it. You can drop it at the end of this section for people curious.
Okay. So, I'm going to go
with... Or save it for a newsletter when it's
more... They're both Formula One romances because I was like, what's more glitz and glam than, like, traveling the world with a race car driver? I think the one I'm going with here... is I think it's called Off the Edge. I get the two confused because the first book in the series is On the Grid. Off the Grid. On the Edge.
That makes sense, I think.
Yeah.
Off the Edge.
No, On the Edge. No, what am I saying? I don't know.
Jumping off a really tall something. Yeah, off the Edge.
Tay Bromberg. I think it's On the Edge. I liked the second book in the series much better than the first. I've pitched this one to you. I did it in our episode where we pitched each other romances, so I don't have to explain too much if you've listened to that episode. But she is an intern, doesn't know anything about Formula One. She's in a meeting at her job, and it's this, like, playboy Formula One driver who is signing this deal, like, sponsorship deal, or he thinks he's going to sign it, but it turns out they're like, no, there are all these paparazzi pictures of you drunk last night, and so we need you to clean up your image. You need to have a girlfriend for 3 months before you can do this. And he's like, where? You can't, like, make me have a girlfriend. Where am I going to get a girlfriend? And they're like, don't worry, we have actresses picked out for you. And he's like, no, I want her to be my fake girlfriend. And so for her job, she just is, like, jet-setting around the world, staying in glamorous hotel suites and also having sex with this guy who is very damaged. And they go back and forth and they, like, kind of break up. And oh, will they, won't they? But also just, like, fate dating an F1 driver. The glitz, the glam, the will they, won't they of it all. I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. And he's hot, so. And he's famous. It's all coming together.
It really is. It really is. Yeah, this one, while I had, like, a lot to choose from, I feel like they were all, like, hitting different vibes. And I feel like I picked one, but I also want to pick the other one in the series too.
Why are we?
Because currently there are only two published currently. The first one and the main one, I guess, because it takes place in New York, is a lot like Adios by Alexis Daria. But I do think also you had me at Ola could also be, like, the second half of 1989. Like, they're famous in that one. Like, their wildest dreams, like, that kind of, I don't know. You know, like, things are percolating, you know, in your brain right now.
That's true.
I can see it happening for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But a lot like Adios is a second chance. And oh my God, they knew, like, he, like, left her 13 years ago, so... We love a 13 reference. But basically, they were, like, high school sweethearts, I believe. And then he left her around prom. It's always prom. He is a big LA gym owner. And then he's looking to start a franchise in New York. And she's in New York. And she's helping him on the marketing campaign. But she doesn't realize it was, like, his company until they meet dramatically. So I did want to have, because I didn't do in my 1989 song rec, I did an Island Princess, no, a Caribbean Heiress in Paris, so not in New York. So I wanted to give some love to New York, but I think both of those books are just, like, so hot. I loved them a lot, and I'm very excited for book 3 that was just announced. But this one was, like, fun, flirty, again, super hot. I don't know if it – I think it was kind of like a she lost him, but she found herself type of deal, like, way back when. I mean, she was, like, very independent in the future. But he definitely did a number on her, and it took her a while to, like, trust him again. And, I mean, he was a sweetheart. Like, he was cute. Gray sweatpants are coming to mind. I don't know. Like, I feel like gray sweatpants. Gray sweatpants is the move. I don't know why that imprinted on me, but it did. He's a very hot man. Very hot individual. Same thing with You Had Me at Olau. Like, that was so hot, that book. There's a mirror scene in that one. Sweet Lord. That one I feel like deals with the fame and like the playboy and like the celebrity reputation kind of the 1989 era. Whereas mm-hmm. a lot like
because the first one, doesn't it start with her getting like bad press?
Yeah. Yeah. Because she's like walking that delicate line of like the fame and like her show, like her status on the show, I think. Because then they have to like manage their like PR, I think, with this show. I don't, it's been a long time. Yeah, again, I need to reread them. But I feel like both of them do what we got in both 1989 and then the Taylor's version, like vault tracks. And then the second chance of it all is the second book, a lot like Adios. So there we are.
Reputation. Guys, look. Every time I listen to Look What You Made Me Do, it's just Jessica Trent. It's just Jessica Trent showing up in a bar in Paris wearing a full red outfit and like a mm-hmm. black veil, shooting that man in the arm, and then turning herself in at the police station. And then being
angry that she's not being arrested.
And then they're like, we actually can't arrest you. It was a crime of passion. People would die in the riots if we arrested you. We are in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, what the fuck?
And I feel like if there's a crime to be committed in Reputation, it's a crime of passion.
It's a crime of passion. But also, you've got a bad bitch who's like, you're going to ruin my reputation? Fine, I'm going to shoot you and then force you to marry me anyway. But underneath it, we're all softies and we're all kissing Dane on his big ugly nose. Well, big attractive nose that he thinks is ugly. And we're having a soft romantic time. Mm-hmm. But like secretly, because we won't admit it out loud.
Yeah. That's all very true. I love Loretta Chase so much.
Also, Reputation's my favorite album, and that's one of my favorite books of all time, so it felt correct.
That does feel correct. And we watched the Reputation Stadium Tour when we were together Anaheim, and then we now did. It's gone. So let's hope it comes back when she releases Taylor's version. Unfortunately. Because that is sad. I chose Bombshell by Sarah McLean, which I feel like is not revolutionary. It just really fits. Like, I just feel like it just is. Like, she's in her Reputation era. She's got a big reputation that really she cultivates, but it's not really, like, who she is. But she's not ashamed of it. Like, she owns her reputation. She owns, like, who she is and her freedom. Mm-hmm. But I think she's a little bit hurt by it. Like, some mm-hmm. of the things people say, like, it gets to her. She's not impervious or bulletproof, but she is still very strong and independent. But I love how she's, like, absolutely going crazy for Caleb, and he just runs away. Like, they have a great kiss, and then he just literally sails to America, and she's like, what the fuck?
Here he does.
She's like, what do you mean? Because she's been like trying to get him for so long, and I just love how she was like willing to like chase him and put it all out for him. It was just a very fun dynamic. And then he isn't concerned at all about her reputation. He's like, she's been sexy as hell as long as I've known her. I want her. And but he's got his own reputation issues to deal with. He thinks he'll ruin her, so then he literally yeets himself to America, doesn't come back for years, comes back, and then now they're in close proximity again, and she is just as attractive to him as in the past, and he's like, oh shit. And it's then I feel like it's like them like in their own little bubble. And then everything happening around them and, like, all of the things that they have to do. It's a very, like, soft relationship within, like, a kind of, I don't know, jazzier plot. Jazzy is not the word, but plot that's happening. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, his whole thing was, like, he was just so into her and it was hot. And that freaking book is the reason why Mary Jane Wells' American accent does not give me the ick. Like, a lot of people don't like it. But for some reason, Caleb Calhoun whatever she put in him in that audiobook.
No, I'm with you on that one. I did have to fight people at the Rip Bodice the other day.
Yeah.
Because strangers, as you do at historical romance events, we were debating Sarah McLean books. And I have opinions about Sarah McLean's books that Sarah McLean diehard fans often disagree with. And I think that's okay.
We should do a Sarah McLean.
But they were like, I don't really like Bombshell. And I was like, well, you're incorrect.
Everyone says that. And I'm like, what do you mean?
I don't like the American accent. And I was like, you're especially incorrect now. So.
Yeah. Right. It was so hot. And it's funny if you read the book. It's funny about the accent, just knowing if you've read the entire book. But, like, it changed me. Like, I think I gave the book 4 stars when I first read it. And then I gave it 5 stars after listening to the audiobook because I was just so turned on by that voice. And I was like, Mary Jane Wells, you get me. I was like, Caleb Calhoun is a different creature at this point. And then she gave that same accent to Matthew Swift and I was gone. I was like, okay, my baby boy.
Did you ever get through the series before this one?
I think I read 2. I didn't read the Scott one. Is that in this? Is that
the one of Scott ties that? Yeah, that's. I think that one's when you've. No, you meet them in the first one, the one with King. That's when you meet all of the. I can't remember their last name. Cecily and her sisters.
Mm-hmm. Talbot.
Yes, the Talbots.
Yeah. But yeah, I think
third one is when you meet Caleb the first time. Yeah, because he's friends with Serafina.
Yeah. So I haven't read the Scott one, but
that's the one where he. Kisses her in that book and then sails to America.
Love that.
And he comes back at the beginning of Bombshell.
I think he's just so funny. I wish there were more scenes in books where they kiss and then one just runs away from the other one. They just can't deal with the emotion. They just run. Like George Clooney running in
I know.
The Hawaiian movie. I love it.
For contemporary, speaking of sexy men, I went with Full Moon Over Freedom by Angelina M. Lopez.
Yeah.
Number one, I can't talk about this book without saying that I can't remember his name. Nicky Mendoza is the hottest fictional man to ever not really exist. He's not even my type, but whatever Angelina put in that man – he's like a bad boy artist with like long hair, but he was her sex teacher in high school when they were both in high school, to be clear. She was like, I want you to tutor me in having
sex. I was like, what do you mean they were both in high school and he was a teacher? I was
no.
Confused for
no, her two sex seconds. Teacher. She was like, I want to have sex. And he was in love with her this whole time because of course he was, but she was just using him for his body and his skills. Classic. Anyway, he's so hot. I can't emphasize enough how hot this man is. Also, there's like a little bit of magic in this one because she's a Bruja and I'm like slay queen. I hated myself as soon as I said the words slay queen, but it's too late now. I've already said it. Anyway, she's like back in town. She grew up with a lot of pressure. She's like the perfect daughter, perfect mother, but now her life is falling apart and her garbage ex-husband is causing problems. And she's like, I just need to learn to be bad. And who does she run into on her way back into town? Nicky Mendoza, who she hasn't seen since high school. She's like, wow, this is it. But then he lies and says he has a fiance. It's a whole thing. Anyway, they're working together in this building with no AC in the summer. And he's an artist. And at one point he says something about her mommy cunt? Mommy pussy. I don't remember which word it was. But whatever it was, it shouldn't be hot. Like out of context, it's not. Yeah. But the narrator read it to me in my eardrums, and I gasped. And I said, why is that hot when he says it?
Yeah.
Why is this related to Reputation? I don't remember except that she's, like, not the perfect good girl she always thought she was. And she's going to learn to be bad and, like, hook up with this man. But it's also very emotional.
Nice. I chose Role Playing by Kathy Yardley for the, like, call it what you want, like, safeness in the relationship. Because they're in a small town. The town sucks. That fucking town is the worst. I hate it. They hate it. It's, like, ugh. So they're kind of, like, alone. I mean, they're not alone, but they're kind of alone in this town. And her son – on their own. Yeah. Her son is in college, so she is actually alone. And then he, I don't know what's up with him. It's been a while, but he also feels alone. They meet on an online gaming thing. So for like the first 40% of the book, he thinks she's like a 90-year-old woman and she thinks he's a frat boy.
Sure.
And so they've just like developed a friendship.
I'm so sorry. It is mommy cunt. I revisited another newsletter we sent out where I recommended it. That's all.
Look at that.
Anyway.
We're very on brand.
Continue.
So she ends up getting sick and he's like, oh, I can drop off soup to this nanny. There's a grandma, and then they're not the ages they thought they were. I think he's like 50 and she's in her 40s. And they end up having just like the softest, sweetest romance. And because they've been like friends for a while. And he is both bisexual and demisexual. And he's been like ostracized from his family. His family is homophobic. It's like icky for him, but she is like his rock, and she has like a prime like telling off his I think it's his mother who's like the worst of them. Like she gets to, she like takes off her earrings at a wedding and like goes to bat for him, and I'm like, I love you so much. And I just feel like they would like, they're just like their own little thing in this ugly town. And everyone's kind of, like, trying to, like, get their hands on them or, like, tear them – I don't know, just, like, being mean. And then they're just, like, adorable and fluffy and soft and cute. And that book was really good. And, yeah, that scene at the wedding was just so freaking good. My book for Lover is kind of, like, the opposite. Like, it's, like, the Lover version of this book, which is funny. Like, it has this same kind of vibe. I'm excited to talk about that one, too. Because I feel like Lover and Reputation are like, you know, different sides of the same coin. So yeah, that one again, definitely recommends. Very soft romance in an icky town.
Lover!
That was your best so far.
Wow, thank you. I was too low. In my head, it was like a few notes
yeah,
up.
Yeah, she does go pretty high.
But I couldn't do that, so...
Respect.
I mean, what is softer than We Could Be So Good?
Yeah, I think I had that one in the back of my mind for this.
What
one
is softer? What is sweeter? What is more like? There's fear, because in my head, Lover is like a very fearful album, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But the fear is all around, like not really feeling like you deserve love. And, like, mm-hmm. you can be with someone and that they will actually stay and want you.
Mm-hmm.
And Kat Sebastian said, relatable. They yeah. fall in love and it's so soft. And they're just, like, hanging out in their apartment in New York, which is also very Lover.
Mm-hmm.
Just being soft and in love.
Yeah, that's how I feel about A Rule Book for Restless Rogues by Jess Everly. Again, it's their house. They make the rules. I mean, by the end of it, they've got – the like bar place that they own, and they literally like mention like how they make the rules. Like the last page of that book is so Lover coded. As soon as I finished it, I was like, okay, well, forever in my brain associated is this book and Lover. And it does, I think, have like all those vibes you just mentioned of mm-hmm. not thinking you necessarily deserve the love, or you know, again, the kind of like Reputation, having that like very safe person in a world that is a little bit scary. And also this one is just like a heavy unfound family, like my contemporary pick. And I just, it was just very sweet and soft, and yeah, I liked it a lot.
My contemporary also is just so Taylor Swift coded. So what if we just like hung out in an apartment and we're in love, even though I don't know that I'm deserving of love. X's and O's by Amy Lee,
mm-hmm.
which is just mm-hmm. the most Lover coded book ever.
So good.
That's it. That's my whole rant. It's just so like, I don't need to tell you anything about the plot.
Yeah.
It just is so Lover. And so like, I don't know that anybody can actually love me. And Trevor's
yeah.
like,
yeah.
challenge accepted.
Oh, man. Oh, I love that book so much.
That's it. That's my whole recommendation. I went back and looked at my Instagram post from when I read it last year and recommended it. And the song I used was Daylight.
Hell yeah.
I think it was Daylight. It really could have been any song on Lover, frankly, literally. But I'm pretty sure it was Daylight. Yeah.
I literally have X's and O's as the first one I put down for this, but I ended up choosing the third one I put down for it. So look at that.
Two minds.
We think alike. I chose With Love from Cold World by Alicia Thompson. And I think if you've read it, you kind of see how it's kind of like another flavor of role playing almost by Kathy Yardley. It's almost like another flavor of Reputation, where they're like coworkers and she's very like buttoned up and always wears her cardigan and is the accountant. And then he is kind of like the troublemaker playing like pranks on her. They just don't really get along. And then they just slowly become like friends and like then like best friends. And like it's a very like quick progression, but it felt very real and authentic. Like they just really got each other. And it's kind of the same deal. His family is super homophobic. He's bi, and they kind of like wrote him out of their family. And he then like finds his own family within like his roommates, and like he volunteers with LGBTQ plus like youth. And it's just very like he's very soft and just a soft little boy, like B-O-I, boy, emo. And she is like very surprised by that, like at, like under the facade like he kind of puts on at work. And then she defends him at his parents' house when they're there, I think for like a baby shower or something. And again, it's like not the earrings off type of defense. It's the Lover version of the defense. And you're just kind of like rooting for them. And they were both definitely like fearful and afraid of like kind of other things getting in the way and like into that. And then there was the whole fake, because they work in like an amusement park, Cold World, in Florida, and it's like a winter themed, and it's kind of going under, so they have to try to like save it. They get locked in overnight, which is a wonderful scene. That's like the first time they hook up. A+, I think it's like the first time. It was so good. But it's a very soft book in romance, a lot softer than I thought it was going to be. It was just very good. And then when she really defended him, like that's one of my favorite like sub tropes or like micro tropes, is like a character defending the other character to either like an enemy or like a like someone close to the, you know, like parents or something. I don't know. Like it just gets the job done every time. And it's a very, I don't know, Lover coded thing to do, I feel like. What a good book. So good.
Folklore. Listen, I was just picking historical romances with the vibes, and for that I said Mortal Follies by Alexis Hall. It's like dark fairy, not fairy tale, but like mythological, magical. Pup is the narrator. And when I was thinking about it, I was, you know how Taylor Swift has those, like, she has three different pens, metaphorical pens that she uses to write her songs. And one of them is like the feather, like the quill. And Folklore is like the gel. Quill. It's like glitter gel pen.
Then the then, like, quill, and then there's ballpoint, the one. Ballpoint, whatever. Which is like she classifies most of her songs as, I think. Me would be like a glitter gel pen.
God, I love glitter gel pen songs. I won't even lie to you. But like this Mortal Follies felt like Alexis Hall might have written it with a quill. It's just like dark and magical and like funny, but also quite poignant. Listen, I'm just here for the vibe. Also, it just feels like a lot of it probably took place in a forest.
Yeah, I feel that.
That's the whole wreck. Also, I'm obsessed with that book.
I restarted that book 3 times, I think. I just was not in the mood, I think, for like a fantasy.
It's a very specific.
And I liked it. I just simply could not pay attention to it when I was trying to do it. I think I started during work like several times.
You gotta be paying attention.
Yeah. I was like, I have to turn this off because I have listened to her lose her dress 10 million times. I still don't know what the fuck is happening.
It's vanishing.
I will read it.
Because she's been cursed.
And I was like, what do you mean? So I'll get back to it. I enjoyed the vibes that I got. The narrator was very good. But I just could not focus at that moment in time. Yeah, this one was hard. I just feel like Folklore is like so many different vibes in one album, and it pulls in so many different directions for me. And I was like very like hard to pick one. So that's why I kind of cheated in the newsletter and chose The Scoundrels of St. James by Lorraine Heath. It's got a little bit of everything. It's got a love triangle. It's got like the childhood kind of like love triangle that goes into adulthood kind of type of deal. And I picked the like, and just like a folk song, Our Love Will Be Passed On, as like the lyrical association, just because like Lorraine Heath to me is like love that will be passed on. Like those epilogues hit every time. And especially for this series, they're like the foundation now of her current series, or like her last series. And then this current one, like they're with, you still have traces of them and like the clubs that they start and all of that. And like, honestly, I think it's been like three series now that are like the children and like people who like knew these people, like they're still alive because it's romance, but like they're old and their children are running the thing now. I think one of their sons is the hero in Once More My Darling Rogue. They like adopted him in one of these books in the series, and then he, it's like the Two Dragons or something is the establishment, so that's why that hero gets like a giant dragon tattoo on his back. It's a whole part of that book. Anywho, these books, like book one, I say is like the lightest. It has like the light moments of Folklore. And then book two is like very, very dark, I would say. I was ill prepared. Very, I don't know, like the introspective like pain of Folklore. And then book three is a little bit, I guess, lighter, more playful, I think. Kind of like a combination of the first two. And then the fourth one is just wild. He was the part of the love triangle that didn't get the girl. There's a lot happening in that book. But yeah, that one just felt kind of like the folklore, like that's the lore of Lorraine Heath. I don't know. Again, that one was a hard one for me. But yeah, I think it does the job pretty well.
My contemporary, she's back at it again with the forever books. Guys, most of the contemporary romance I read are because I'm publishing. I'm working for the pub, whatever. Before I let go by Kennedy Ryan, I feel like she also wrote this with a quill. Like Kennedy Ryan sat down and was like, I'm going to write a fucking masterpiece. And then she did. I feel like there's a lot of, there's like healing, like just going off, trying to like put your life back together. There's like not quite a love triangle. It's a second chance between these two parents who are, they're co-parenting together. They're divorced, but they're co-parenting and running a business together. So they're definitely still in each other's lives, but there was this like very intense tragedy that broke them up in the first place. And so there's like a certain element of like the love triangle where he starts kind of seeing someone and that's an impetus for a lot of things. I feel like Cardigan is probably the best, like the song that best represent the like, but you'll come back. Like we just make sense together. And we have this history, and we know each other so well. I'm not explaining this well, but, like, the healing, the artistry of it all, it's just, I feel a little bit feral talking about Kennedy Ryan. And that book is so fucking good.
I know, I have to read both of them in that series.
You do. You do.
And she just hit the New York Times bestseller list.
She did.
Hell yeah. This one was hard because I had one pick, and then I was like, maybe I shouldn't pick that. Well, I could pick. I feel like, again, Folklore has, like, the two kind of, like, one's very quill pen, very introspective, all of that. And then there are some songs that, like, the album in its whole, like, is, I listen to it in the summer. Like, it's a very summer album to me.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
It, which to is, me, I is think a very, like, fall album.
See, even though it has like August. August, yeah.
But August to, like, me is a post-August song.
Like, it is, yeah. I it. Think I just listened to it in the summer. So, like, it just has a very summer feeling. But I think the book that I chose is, like, a fall book. So, I guess, I don't know. I chose The Catch by Amy Lee. One, I cheated because a while back, Amy posted in her Instagram stories. Nom, nom, nom. She posted in her Instagram stories all of her songs or all of her books with song associations of Taylor Swift. And the main one for The Catch wasn't a folklore song, but she did have Cardigan and she had August as two songs that she associates with The Catch, which were interesting to me. But then the more I was thinking about it and, like, the act of, like, Mel going into that small, like, Nova Scotia, like, town felt kind of like the last great American dynasty. Felt very kind of like she's an influencer, kind of like a mirror ball. Like, she has to kind of, like, put on a face for everyone because that's how she makes her money. And they don't want to see, like, the broken pieces of her life. And then he's a fisherman, so he's the salt air. And, like, it's, like, a very – it was just – I love it. You just read it, I think. You just posted about it today. Like, it's the other vibes of folklore after kind of the more, like, deep in inner ones. But, yeah, the salt air. And I think that one takes place kind of, like, in the fall. Like, I think they're cold at some point on a boat. He gets knocked over from the boat, and that was so fun. It's like a While You Were Sleeping kind of loosely inspired by While You Were Sleeping, which was really fun. The more I was, like, thinking about it, I was like, okay, the more that kind of fits. Because I had, like, another rec, I think, that hits more of, like, the Quill pen lyrics, but I'll save that for a newsletter in the future. But, yeah.
Evermore.
Drop a few octaves.
Yeah, well, she does. This was a tricky one. I had a much easier time with the contemporary. I went with the Rakes.
Ooh, I had the opposite, I think.
By Scarlett Peckham, which is funny because it was originally my Reputation historical. But then I really wanted to do Lord of Scoundrels. And also I was like, I just kept thinking about the "She would have made such a lovely bride. What a shame she's fucked in the head," they said lyric.
Yeah.
Which just felt so, like, I don't know. Evermore is a weird it's a weird album to me. It's not one that I feel like I understand very well.
Oh, I love this. I love Evermore.
I like individual songs on Evermore. I feel like it's not one that I've sat down and really thought about thematically.
I will say I understand little of it, but I sure love it. Because she's, like, making all these stories. I'm like, girl, I don't know.
The, like, dark, gloomy, isolated, just going to a cabin in this, like, coastal town and healing from some damaging relationship of it all is quite literally, like, the premise of the Rakes. Like, she's back in this mansion in her coastal hometown, and everybody in the town hates her because she's pro-sex. I don't, like, she's a slut. Slay. Said lovingly.
Term of endearment.
And she's also made a name for herself. So, like, that idea of, like, peace, like, that I can never give you peace. Like, I don't need your closure. Like, I feel like there are just a lot of songs that would work for her attitude and her, like, I'm just going to go home in this isolated little town and write my thing. And also, if a hot single dad wants to show up and have a lot of sex with me, I will do that. That's not in Evermore,
but it should have
been. It should have been.
Yeah, this one I feel like I don't think I had too much of a struggle. Like, I think I put this one down pretty fast into thinking about the different eras, and that is A Lady for a Duke by Alexis Hall, another forever book. Again, I think my song association in the newsletter was, like, the cabin creaking, the pain wouldn't be forevermore. I also think, like, long story short, I survived. I just feel like it's like a very winter album. To me, like, whenever I have my windshield wipers on, I literally hear, like, 'Tis the Damn Season. Like, for some reason, like, I listened to that song so much when it first came out, like, and it was, like, very snowy that year, I think. And I just, this association. So, like, this is a very, like, winter feeling book to me. It's a very, like, healing in an isolated space. No cabin, but it is a castle. There's not, like, a huge forest, but there is, like, trees, and there's, like, ivy covered things,
it's
and
not
like
a huge
willow
forest,
trees.
But there is trees.
I like was like looking through the book.
Me walking around really Central there. Park, like, ah, yeah, it's green
tree. I'm assuming there was a forest. It just was never mentioned in the book. I couldn't search the word forest and find something. But there were willow trees and there were ivy covered things, and it just feels like a very like soft romance, but it hurt. But in, like, a different kind of angst than, like, a will-they-won't-they angst. Mm-hmm. It was just so emotional and, like, winter-coated and evermore-coated and just very, like, I don't know, soft and deeply emotional. But a little bit cozy. And that epilogue gets me every time with Jack Skellion. Yeah, that one. Once the pieces were coming together, I was like, ah, yes. 'Tis all there.
The most evermore coded book contemporary that I can think of, which is funny because before this exercise, I don't think I associated the album Evermore with it. And mm-hmm. then I was like, oh my God, I'm the dumbest bitch alive, is Beach Read by Emily Henry. It's so, she literally goes to her little coastal town.
I think
in
I had that
cabin.
One in Folklore.
Mm-hmm. I think I originally had it in Folklore because I tend to get the covers, like the album covers, confuse me. Folklore,
oh,
like I don't. There's something about like the color scheme. I always forget that Evermore is like the coastal town one, and that Folklore is the forest one, because the Evermore cover feels very foresty. I don't know. The point is, she like literally straight up goes to a cabin on a beach, but not like a summery beach. And is like, let me heal from the damage that has been done by, number one, this relationship, because I can't be loved. And number two, my dead dad. Relatable. I'm just kidding. That's not relatable to me at all. My dad is alive and wonderful and doesn't have a secret
relatable
mistress.
Queen. It's like that thing going around the Spill Queen or something. Have you seen that
no.
meme? Oh, my God. I need to find – you keep talking. I will find it.
Also, it's just beautiful. It's probably – I don't know if it's my favorite Emily Henry, because Book Lovers really did a number on me, but it has stuck with me the most, I feel like, of the Emily mm-hmm. Henrys.
It's my favorite Emily Henry so far.
Augustus just feels so, like, I feel like he would love Evermore also. Just, like, the mm-hmm. lyricism of it all. That's it. I can't explain it any deeper than that, other than just, like, it makes sense in my head.
Like, I need to find this meme, and it's not going to be a fast process, but that's okay, because it's hilarious. I just apparently have liked so many things from its creation to now.
That one, this is the second time today this has come up, but Beach Read, I read it. I don't remember what the other book that I read was, but I read it back to back with some other book that featured, like...
I read it.
The heroine finding out her father like had a secret other family. I had started reading Clap When You Land, and I didn't finish it then. I finished it later. But I read those two books, or started the other one back to back, and I have a very clear, very silly memory of me going to my dad and being like, "If you had a secret other family, you would tell me, right? Like before you died." And he was like, Caroline, when do you think I would have the time to maintain a secret other family? I am – he works from home. He's like, when would I – I'm like, I don't know. You got a lot of business trips. He would never.
Another secret family is Sex, Lies, and Sensibility.
Yeah.
If anyone wants a rec. The meme was – it was like someone was telling like a very emotional story. And the other person responds with "Mama, kudos for saying that, for spilling." And it was like not the response. I mean, It was not the response that really was warranted. But Mama, kudos for saying that, for spilling. And now it's a meme. And I do love it because it makes me laugh every time. I don't even know what I was really thinking about before that. But I had to talk about it. Are we doing Evermore still?
Yeah. Where we're at? The contemporary.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, this one was hard. I had a few. I chose the one that gave me the most winter vibes because it is set in winter. There's not really much more to that. I chose Kiss Her Once For Me by Alison Cochran. That one is another, like, while you were sleeping, mm-hmm. kind of, like, loose retelling. Basically, it's another Inheritance one, too. I think she ends up fake being engaged to the other heroine's brother. I think he's, like, he wants to get married for the inheritance. And then she ends up going to their, like, cabin and like, this girl she had a magical, like, one night with, like, last year is there, and she's his sister. So she's like, oh, shit. This, like, person who, I've been thinking about for a year now thinks I'm engaged to her brother. And it's a whole thing. I loved it so much. They get snowed in. It's a very wintry Christmas book. I really enjoyed it. And, like, I don't know. I feel like just the vibes of Evermore more so than, like, the individual songs for that one. I feel like if she was going to put an Inheritance heist, like, song, it would maybe go into Evermore. I don't know. Even though I guess Anti-Hero. She talks a little bit about Inheritance in that one, too. But, yeah. This one was definitely hard. I was like, I truly don't know. I feel like, yeah, it was hard. I can't keep talking. I'm going to stop.
Midnight. There were two options there, I had to think. Yep. There's a higher one.
Midnight. What the fuck? Oh, I was thinking of, like, Meet Me at Midnight from Lavender Haze.
No, the
Meet Me at Midnight.
I was using the TikTok sound where they edited together all the album titles, and I think that one is the higher one.
Midnight. Yeah, I don't.
Anyway, but I prefer the lower. Listen, this is a hard one. Even though I love the album, Jeannie Lynn's "The Sword Dancer" is a historical romance I just read. What if that was the end of it? It's just a historical romance that I read.
I would say, Mama, kudos for saying that, for spilling.
Look, the premise of Midnights is that it's an album about things that kept Taylor awake at night. And The Sword Dancer, number one, a lot of it takes place at night. Because she's a criminal. She is trying to find out the mystery of what happened to her mom. All she remembers is that they were running and men with swords were chasing them. And then her mom, like, hit her in a forest and she never saw her again. So that's keeping her up at night, number one. number two, she's on her vigilante shit. Because she did steal some stuff. She was working with this, like, anti-government group for a little while and robbing people. Naturally. And so now this thief catcher is after her. And the thing that's keeping him up at night is justice. He is search
for justice.
Yeah. His search for justice. Like, call him Batman. The way that he was.
I was going to say, he sounds.
I'm Batman. He just really firmly believes that people who do bad things should be punished for their crimes. And on the one hand, it was a romance. But on the other hand, mostly it was Jeannie Lynn being like, what if we really dove into what it means to seek justice under a corrupt government, with a corrupt justice system where you can be beheaded for stealing something? Or in her mom's case, get out of being beheaded, but instead sold back to the guy who propositioned you and tried to rape you and then ended up having your husband killed for fighting back against him. You know? So she's like, what does it mean to have justice, though? And he's like, maybe I should think about that.
No, he said, Mama, kudos for saying that.
Doing this.
It's just in my brain. I can't stop.
She's here for vengeance. She's here on her vigilante shit. She's escaping this guy like four times because he keeps catching her and she keeps escaping. And it's kind of hilarious sometimes. Like at one point, he just ties her up and is like throws her onto his horse and is riding around like that. And then they go, she's like, I have to go to the bathroom. And so they go to this restaurant and he leaves her tied up. And she's like, can I not be tied up for this? And he's like, no. Hello, random woman who runs this restaurant. Please help my fiance go to the bathroom. And then she comes back and they go to eat and she just bursts into tears and then is like, please don't hit me again. And immediately everyone in the restaurant is up in arms thinking that he's a kidnapper and they like cut her free and she escapes and then they beat the fuck out of him, I'm pretty sure. Or they do something to him because they think he's a kidnapper. And I was like, that's so slay of her. Anyway.
That's giving book one in the Dangerous Damsel series.
It's true.
That kind of vibe. Like, I feel like Celia would like absolutely pull that shit on Ned. I tried to choose the entire series, but I limited myself to choosing the League of Gentlemen Witches. I tried.
I failed.
Like, no, Hannah, you can't. So I did choose just book two because that one to me, like, I think when she was promoting the album, she said that Midnight's is like five different feelings. Mm. Self-loathing, check. Relatable. Fantasizing about revenge,
also
check.
Relatable.
Wondering what might have been, check.
Relatable.
Falling in love, check.
I
falling
wish.
Apart, check.
That one is relatable though.
For the book, not for, yeah. I was like, I can't relate to some of these. But yeah, like, I just feel like Charlotte went through all those freaking emotions. Alex was along for the ride and all of her changed like midnight. It was a very like finding herself again book and like just kind of like learning who she is after being like repressed like crazy in her family for like years. And it just felt whimsical, a little bit of like the sparkling bejeweled moment. And just so good. So good. Love that for Charlotte.
So true.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm. Glitz, glam, sparkle, but also self-loathing. Also falling in love. Not really seeking revenge, but like coming to terms with someone who abused you, I feel like. All hallmarks
like mine too.
Mm-hmm. Of... I'm bringing it home with another forever book, Stars in Your Eyes by Kacen Callender, which is not a light read, but is a great read, I feel like, which is these two Hollywood stars, one of whom is like the bad boy, like Hollywood loves to trash his image because he's always out drinking and doing drugs and partying and sleeping around, etc. And the other one is this like up-and-comer golden boy, and they're cast in this movie. And oh, it's been a very long time since I read it. I think they might fake date. No, I don't think they're fake dating. The problem is that they're in love and they shouldn't. I don't know. It doesn't really matter, but the point is it's like, yay, lighthearted Hollywood fun, except the bad boy is a bad boy to cope with the, like, childhood sexual abuse he underwent as a child actor, and the golden boy's dad is homophobic. So they're dealing with some shit, and they, like, on page, deal with a lot of shit, and it is very heavy, and that felt very Midnight's to me, the like surface level Hollywood glamour, but then that like dark underbelly. I will say this isn't like a traditional romance in the sense that it follows, it's one of those ones that you read and you're like, was it a romance? But it has an HEA. It's about their relationship. It's just that it doesn't follow, I think, the traditional.
I read arc. One that was like a 13 going on 30, I think. I think I put that under Speak Now. but it felt more like a movie script. Where or like a movie where like you kind of see them with other people, or like it does things that normally in a book I wouldn't like, or in like a book romance, but it felt like if I was watching a movie I'd be okay with it. Like it felt, I don't know, more cinematic.
It's not so much that like, they like do things or that Kaysen does things that I don't like. It just, I feel like it doesn't follow the plot structure that you typically expect in a romance novel. And like they have to take time apart from each other to like really deal with their shit. I thought it was great. It's a fantastic book. It just is definitely heavy. Definitely, again, the content warnings for like child abuse and drug overdosing and all of that. I don't remember what all of them are, but it's worth looking into. Because I wouldn't recommend this to like everybody necessarily, but it felt very Midnights to me.
Yeah, I feel like most of those things that you were saying tie back into mine too, which is Treasure by Rebecca Weatherspoon. It's like a long, well, actually it's shorter than I thought. It's only 106 pages. I thought it was like one of those like 170 page novellas. But it's, so it's a novella. Basically on the surface, it's like a very fun plot setup because it's sapphic. So one heroine, she is a stripper, and then the other heroine, she is in a bridal party, and they end up going to the strip club, and then she does like a private dance for her, because like one of the girls in the party like can tell that she's like the other heroine's like attracted to her, and she's very like reserved and shy, and it's like a super hot scene, and then she realizes that, or they both realize that they are in the same computer science class like the next day at college. It's like the first day of classes, and so they're sitting next to each other in class and they're like, oh my god, it's you. So it was like
a very romance moment.
Literally,
oh dear god, it's
and
you.
it was just such a fun setup and it packed a lot of emotions in the 100 pages that it was, because then like under it, like under the surface, the one, she was like a once popular athlete. She's like a violin prodigy. But her parents are very strict, especially her father. Content warnings for self-harm, suicide. She had, I believe, tried to take her own life in the past and is like recovering from that, and had like people at her old school like not be nice about it. And it was like very traumatic in that sense. And then but it's a very soft romance, but definitely like, I think again the content warnings can be kind of heavy because a lot happened in the 100 pages, but it felt very like anti-hero, very you're on your own kid, very Labyrinth mastermind, because I think she even like, I think Alexis definitely like made her way back into like Trisha's life. Like she was like, I'm gonna mastermind this and we're going to be friends because you're very hot, and I want to be your friend and also your girlfriend. And I feel like they both kind of had to have their bejeweled moment at different times. And it still feels like a very kind of like, I don't know, like the cover itself screams Midnights to me. I don't know, like the name Treasure and like Sparkling Lights. Yeah, it was a really good novella.
There you go. We did it.
There we have it.
Mission accomplished.
Look at that. I'm very impressed.
I mean, that's all she wrote. I got nothing else. Mm-hmm. That's so, it's like 20 books.
That is a lot.
No, it's more than that. It's 40.
I was going to say, would it be 40 then with the, no. Yeah.
No.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah, because we're two of us.
Yep.
We can do math. Maybe.
I was like, no, it's like 10 albums. Mm-hmm. There are two of us. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Does it?
So.
Maybe.
There you go. Lots of books to read.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at that. I'm impressed we kept it under 2 hours. Like, that is not in my cards, so I'm taking that as a win. I'm, like, tangled up in cords. Oh, my God. Okay.
Ooh.
Ooh. Well, I have not watched the Eras Tour movie yet, so actually, I think I'll probably either. Do that.
I saw it in theaters. I'll probably do that the Friday.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because I think the day we released, because we did this because of the Eras Tour movie coming to streaming, but then the day we actually released a newsletter was 1 year anniversary of the Eras Tour. So it really worked. And then this is just a random Friday after that. But I think I'll be watching the Eras Tour movie. It's just
when we finally got around to recording the episode.
Yes, I think I'll be watching that tonight if you listen to this on Friday. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the new acoustic set songs.
There you have it.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be back for Tortured Poets Department. Lord. I was going to say Society. That's going to be intriguing.
Based on the vibes we're getting.
And that, yeah, we have no songs to, like, think like, oh, yeah, that's the vibe. And we just have her cryptic.
I just like, don't think shades. It's going to be a good one for romance novels.
No. But we will figure it out.
We'll soldier on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. May have to read some extra books to cover all those bases. I am terrified and deeply excited for extra books. I just hope that it is, I don't know, easier than which one was the hardest? I feel like Midnights was our first one that we did, and I thought that was hard. And then I was like, oh, that's not hard. Like,
I think it was actually 1989.
Yeah.
Not that many.
Has it only been two? No, we did Speak Now, too. Yeah. I think 1989 was definitely rough.
Mm. All right.
Anywho. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, as always. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm impressed you're here. Always just so much easier to not listen to podcasts than it is to listen to them. You know?
That is really true. That is true. I don't listen to many. I have, like, some that I, like, cycle to in phases of my life, but I am not in that phase as of now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're both kind of in reading slumps, I think, or semi-reading.
It's more just that I've been so busy. I haven't had time or willpower to read. Now my problem is I just read the F1 romance they were publishing, and it was great. But I'm only in the mood to read F1 romances or F1 adjacent books, but I don't want to read another F1 romance right now because I want to let that one really sit so that I can like make my marketing plans and like brainstorm ideas for that one. And also so I don't like read another one right away and get them mixed up.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
and if that one was really good, you don't really want to read one after and have it be overshadowed.
I'm only in the mood to read F1 romance. So the only answer I can come up with, other than I'm listening to like an F1 autobiography right now because that's different enough, the only solution I can come up with is just immediately rereading it, which I could do.
I have done that on multiple occasions.
I have to read it with my eyes, and it takes me so long to read things with my eyes. It's not like an audiobook where I can just pop it on, but I'm like, am I just gonna reread this book immediately? I might.
I support you.
Thank you.
I support that.
Thank you. If you look at my reading tracker for the month and you see this same book
just over and over and over again, it's
because that's just the only thing I'm in the mood to read right now.
No, I think I did that for The Hating Game when I first read it. I think I just like reread it, and then I did that. It wasn't my first time reading the first Ravenel book, the
Cold-Hearted
Rake. But the second time I read it, I literally started it right back over and read it a second time. I don't really even know why. I was just like, because I loved it the second time, but I was like, I don't think I was paying enough attention because I wasn't like actively, I was like, it's a reread. But then I was like, there were so many things to unpack. So I just read it again. And I was like, this book is great. So I can't wait for
you to see my reading tracker. And it's just Double Apex, Jensen Button's autobiography. Double Apex again.
I dare you to do it.
I shouldn't, but also I'm working on it. Well,
you
should,
because
so
it's
I
your
should.
Book, so That's then true. You have to know it cover to cover. I mean, technically not, but like
technically not, but I do have to brainstorm marketing ideas for it.
Yeah.
You know what? We're doing great.
So now you can really, now you can go deep into it. And
so true. So true.
You know? Well, love that for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And with that, a long story, not short. We all survived.
Yeah. We survived.